I took a day on Friday trying to get to more grips with the theme and thinking, how on earth can we start to consume and understand all that God has for us? And that is not easy. So do pray for me and others that preach and lead worship to really be able to get a handle on what God is saying and how to convey that. Pray for yourselves that you may understand and grow in your faith. Pray for us together, because the discovery about loving the world actually is done largely in community, the community of the church and in the community of the world. And it's not just something that we attempt to understand and do in isolation. So today we're particularly thinking about stable love, rooted love, and in fact the words can be used interchangeably. So if you think about a vine or a tree, it needs to be rooted in the earth. And we also need to be rooted in Jesus. We need to be rooted in place as well, and in relationships. So the vine is an allegory of God's people growing in the earth. I'll say that again. The vine, that's a picture with a meaning of God's people growing in the earth. And I think it holds all the components about love and growing and the earth. If we're thinking about loving the world, it's incredibly important that we think about being rooted in the earth, rooted in the world. Often, an allegory, a story or a poem, a picture, has a political or a moral meaning. And in fact, Jesus took the Old Testament picture of Israel as the vine, and he controversially declared, "I am the true vine." And I don't think, unless we realise the context in which Jesus was speaking, we see how controversial that was. Because as far as Israel was concerned, they were the vine of God. They were the people of God. And here is Jesus saying, "I am the true vine." And the unstated fact is, you are the false vine. You are not the true vine. The Old Testament picture of Israel as the vine was one of faithlessness and disobedience, often, of sometimes blowing hot for God, but often ignoring God and blowing cold. And here Jesus is calling for close relationship with God the Father and with himself. He says, "My Father is the vine dresser, my Father is the gardener, my Father is the husbandman, my Father tends the vine." So the Father and the Son, the vine dresser and the vine refers to the root and the stock of the vine, are closely related. And this picture of the vine really is John's version of connectedness. If Paul were writing, he would probably talk about the body. But John uses the picture of the vine to talk about connectedness. John reports that Jesus is calling for this vital connectivity to him. "You must abide in me." But he's also talking about Jesus abiding in us. Christ in me and me in Christ. You and me in Christ. And it's not just that Jesus is in me, but that I am in Jesus, which is a much more all-consuming picture, isn't it? If I limit Jesus to just being in me, it almost feels that maybe I can control how much of his will is done. And yet actually I am also in Christ, and Christ fills the whole universe. It's a much bigger picture. Both are true. Jesus also commands his followers that they are to love one another, just as he and the Father God love one another. So this is an amazing passage. It's one that as believers we come back to again and again and again and just marvel at. And we should marvel at it. The Bible, as we've been saying, claims that God defines love. John in his letters says God is love. And we've already seen that John has said earlier in this gospel that the proof of God's love for the whole world is that God sent his Son to be its saviour. And we need to explore what that means. So when we want to talk about the truth of God's love, perhaps to other people that may well doubt that God is love and that God loves, then we need actually to explore how God has shown that love in Jesus Christ. And as a church, we need to explore this in community. Church needs to be a people, a place where we can be honest and speak when it's appropriate about doubts and concerns as well as certainties. We need to explore that together. Also, we don't just explore it with words. The experience of being in the vine is one of the ways we learn just how joyous but also how difficult it is to love one another, and how difficult it is to play our part in the vine, because we don't just come to sit in the shade of the vine or to eat the fruit of the vine, but we actually are the vine. We are the branches, and that is what we're talking about, the part that each of us can play. Good morning. Welcome, Lillian. So actively being in the vine together is part of our discovery of what it means to know God's love, but also to love one another, and also to love the world. God's love is for the whole world, all peoples, and the earth itself. And the vine grows into the earth. What a picture, I believe, of incarnation. God coming into the world. He is the vine right the way through the earth. And for the Jew, in the case of Nicodemus coming and asking what this meant, it would have been such a shock that God loved the whole world, not just that small group of Hebrews, the Israelites. So the vine is an allegory of God's people growing in the earth, Jesus coming into the world and our connectedness to him. There are those four words for love, but here again, the word that is used is agape. You are to love, you are to agape one another. You are to regard others more highly than yourself. But more than that, that is to be rooted in you and I knowing God's love for us. And that's one of the things today we need to affirm, the love of Jesus for us. And if that's what you need to hear today, then it is written of here in this passage. The Lord Jesus loves us. He died for us. He calls us his friends. He calls us his friends. So as we learn about godly agape, how God loves the world, then that is to change our way. And we said last week that there is no speed trip for God. God's love is patient and enduring and long-suffering through all the generations. And that's the picture of God tending the vine. But in some ways, I believe God is a loving and ruthless vine dresser. He prunes deadwood away. And even that which is bearing fruit, he prunes in his love so that we will bear more fruit. And maybe you've experienced the pruning hand of God. I turn it on. Sorry, can you ping it on to the next one, Jeff? And the quote that I gave you, and I come back to, is a quote from Tilad de Chardin. Above all, trust the slow work of God, your loving vine dresser. It is God whose hand is on his people, his living vine, to prune the vine. And his hand can be trusted. We were thinking last week about that patient love. I made reference to the book Slow Church by John Patterson and Christopher Smith. That often we are so racing along. We live in a world which is so hypermobile, where we're concerned about speed. And yet the work of God is patient. And the work of the church needs to be patient and consistent and slow and constant. Because we're in the business of building relationships with God, with one another, and with the world. We are building relationships. And so we're praying for Clapperboard in just 2 weeks' time. that patient, ongoing love and shaping and friendship builds relationships, not just with the children of the church, vital as that is, but also the children of the neighbourhood. It's incredibly important. Jesus uses the allegory of the true, the authentic vine, to show the slow, purposeful work of God. But also he talks about rootedness and the visibility of the work of Jesus on the earth. What does the world think when it looks at the vine? Is it aware of the work of God in people's lives and in drawing people together to make them into God's people? Jesus was planted, incarnated into the earth, and we are now planted in the earth because we're planted into Jesus. I don't know if you can picture yourself. I don't know how your mind works. People work differently, but whether you see yourself as actually linked to Jesus and so linked to one another and indeed linked to all God's people throughout the earth. But where it is often outworked is here on the ground in the earth. We now seek to interpret, to understand the earth, the world, through Jesus. Does that make sense? That our understanding comes from drawing the wisdom and truth of Jesus into ourselves, into our systems, to understand the world. And the world is a crazy place. But to make sense of the world, how does the world see the vine? Does the world see a fruitful vine? Or does it see a barren vine? If the root is holy, so are the branches, says Paul to the Romans. I love that. In Romans 11, if the root is holy, so are the branches. Is our life being changed, our lives together, because we are drawing on the root, the rootedness of Jesus? So here's the picture, the allegory from viticulture, growing of vines. It's of connectedness, it's of growth, it's of constant pruning and fruitfulness. And interestingly, fruitfulness is not defined in a clear sense, but it is spoken of in terms, I think, of these four things that are on the screen. Fruitfulness is spoken of in terms of love, and you'll remember the relationships we've talked about. Fruitfulness is spoken of in terms of answers to prayer, those that are abiding in Jesus, what will result in prayer. And fruitfulness is spoken of in terms of how we relate to others, to actually going to others. And also fruitfulness is spoken of in terms of joy and entering into the completeness of joy. I'm not sure we enter completely into the fullness of joy until we meet Jesus face to face. I think we can experience it now and growing it. But that's the way that rootedness is actually spoken of, and its visibility, the fruit that you see. There's a picture of a vine there growing up a pole. It's probably in Kent or somewhere like that, if it's not a hop. I think it's a vine. And often when the fruit's growing, lots of the leaves get trimmed away so the sun can get to the fruit. And the vine is put under great stress, actually, to produce fruit, which might surprise you. But to produce that fruit, the vine is under great stress. Let's remember those four things. In terms of this rootedness and what's seen, Jesus speaks about love. He speaks about answers to prayer. He speaks about others and our going to them. And he speaks about joy. I'm not going to unpack all of those, you'll be relieved to know. So we've got a whole year on our theme in thinking about loving the world. Jesus, as he speaks of the true vine, is also speaking about the true Israel. I've hinted at that already. And the true Israel is not a particular ethnic people anymore, but is those who become God's true people by discipleship and by obedience. So we are the new Israel. Having said that, I always refer to the chapter in Romans 11, and particularly verses 11 and 12, which tell a little bit of a story. And they tell us the story, Paul argues, because he was, of course, part of the nation of Israel. If the casting away of the Jews meant life for the Gentiles, because that's what happened. The Jews were cast away. They did not believe. The axe was put at the vine, if you want. It meant that the Gentiles came to believe. Then what will the ingrafting or the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? And so there's this tremendous hint that many people cling on to and pray for, that the Jews will recognize Jesus and through faith in him as Messiah also experience life from the dead. But the true vine has become something far bigger than just one particular ethnic group. I hope that will please all of you, whatever line you're coming from in the sense. But we are part of that true vine. And do we feel that? Do we have that sense of heritage and belonging in growing out of something that God has been growing, the people of God, for thousands of generations? Jesus commands, and he rarely does that in the New Testament, but when he does, we have to listen very carefully. Jesus here commands his followers, the true vine, to love one another as he has loved. That's verse 12, and also mentioned in verses 9 and 10. In this, he is concerned about our relating to one another, about our being willing to lay down our lives for one another. And when we come to the response, I'm going to ask you one practical thing about what it means to love one another in the church. I'm going to ask you to think about that and what that means. Jesus is concerned about that, our relating, our loving one another, but he's also concerned about what the world sees. And as we're thinking about loving the world, we are not just thinking about creating a community of love, but a community of love that is growing because others want to be a part of that community. Others becoming grafted into the vine. I believe that Jesus wants the world to see a fruitful vine in the four ways that we talked about, where love is understood and has its proper place. In fact, where love is the governing principle, where there are answers to prayer, where there is a concern for others, as we expressed in terms of our own children, parents and teachers, and indeed the whole church, and where joy is experienced. Is that what the world sees in the church? I also think there will be difficult things that the world sees. If you were listening to the Sunday program today, things that we do and say and believe which do cause offence, not intentionally, but by their very nature do. But does the world see this living vine? He's commanding mutual love, not just that you and I feel loved, but that we love one another. And it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. He goes on to warn that being the true vine will actually cause a collision with the world. I read just one verse, verse 17, which leads into a section. He said, if you live like this, then you may even experience hatred from the world as I have experienced. And that is quite a statement. The true vine is going to have to grow in a hostile climate. And actually, vines can thrive in a hostile climate. And we, I believe, are called to grow in that. And it may vary from generation to generation just how hostile it is. I think the UK has been rather an ambient, very pleasant climate to grow as Christians for a number of years. There are parts of the world where it is very hard to be the vine. Parts of the world that some of us know, like Nigeria or other parts like this. But I think in the UK, the environment will become increasingly hostile. So as such, we will need to develop resilience and even resistances while still being true to our roots, Jesus, while still showing love, experiencing joy, seeing answers to our prayers and showing a concern for others. We must not entrench into ourselves. We need to keep reaching out to others. So, here's the picture of the vine in the earth, the picture of incarnation, being stable and rooted. I said to you, I wanted to affirm from verse 9 that we are loved by Jesus. Here are the words that I felt I should just underline today. Jesus says, I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. And for some of you, I believe we need, well, I do, constantly to hear that the Lord Jesus loves me. He laid down his life for me. He has made me his friend. And then he says, remain, and he talks about obedience to him. We need to be rooted in Jesus. We need to be rooted in our locality, I believe. But we have been chosen not just to stay with people like ourselves, people who share our values and beliefs, hopefully. We have been chosen, verse 16, and appointed to go and bear fruit. So we need to be stable in Jesus. We need to be stable in locality, but also we need to be willing to go. So you've almost got walking vines in some ways. Go and make disciples, says Jesus. And it's from our very rootedness in Jesus, our deep knowledge of his love, that we move into more dangerous territory. The world, I think, in many ways, is hostile. The world is changing so rapidly that some people feel very at home in it and other people don't. But I would suggest most people do not feel totally at home in the world and never will be until we find that rootedness. The vine we belong to is not planted in some secret Garden of Eden, away from the real world. It is planted in every neighborhood and every workplace. Jesus is there, and you are connected to him while you are in the workplace. Some of you are in very tough situations in the workplace. Some of you are in more tough situations than others. It is rooted there. That picture of incarnation, being the true vine, being the people of God, stable, rooted, but also the picture of mission, of going. This is not just a picture, the vine, of my intimate and personal relationship with God through Jesus, though it is that. It's a picture of great intimacy. Great intimacy. But it's also a picture of God's people in communities of local churches relating to others in the earth, because we are rooted in Jesus. So it's a picture, yes, that is personal and intimate, but it's also a picture of being God's people. Jesus came to save the world, not just me. My relationship with the world then, and that's important as we're thinking about the world, is dependent on my relationship with God through Jesus. My relationship with the world is also dependent upon my relationship with fellow believers, and so is yours. Loving one another because we love Jesus is therefore saying, I am part of being the people of God. And working out what that means and the contributions that we make to those communities of God's people we belong to is very, very important. I put here, I am part of the people of God and not just a grape. I'm part of the branches, you're part of the branches. And this people is to be governed by love, agape love, and not powerful people, although hopefully there will be people who are powerful in God. But it's to be governed by the love of Jesus Christ. Remember, I'm going to ask you in a minute, what does it mean to love one another as Jesus has loved us? I'm going to ask you in the response, and we'll see what the Holy Spirit reminds people of. So, abiding or rootedness is defined in terms of being obedient to God. That is a very unusual word for our society. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And then he talks about his command to love one another. He talks about us being appointed to go to the world. And so, if we say we are rooted in Jesus, if we are connected to the vine, then in many ways we need to talk about how closely we are following the will of God, what God wants for our lives, from our behaviour, from the changes that come. And Jesus says, if you are rooted, if you are obeying, then you will experience, and the word is completion, the fullness of joy through this intimate relationship to your Creator. And of course, it's not just our Creator in isolation. He has called out a people. Jesus himself learned obedience in his humanity. So here we are. Not slaves, says Jesus, but his friends, because he's shared with us what he's heard from the Father. He's proved that he is our friend by laying down his life for us. And here he calls us to lay down our lives for one another. If this happens, many people will grow into the vine. If we love one another, then I am sure through the grace of God, many people respond and want to belong to God's people. I put the quote again, above all, trust the slow work of God, our loving vine dresser, because I believe it is the hand of God that can be trusted. We're not talking about how he prunes at the moment. We may talk about that later. But the hand of God upon the vine, upon the church, upon his people, shaping us, and our response to that. So let us just be still for a moment, and then Neil is going to introduce a song, and then we're going to have a time to respond, particularly by sharing about what we think in practice it means to actually love one another. So we'll just be still for a moment, and then Neil will tell us the song we're going to sing as part of our response.